from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working with students and families to improve college access and student success for a better West Virginia. West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu.
Good evening. I'm Andrea Lanham at the State Capitol Building, and this is the Legislature Today. The House spent nearly 4 hours in session today, with most of the debate over amendments to the teacher, school personnel, and police pay raise bill. Also this morning, an emotional public hearing over a bill that proponents say will crack down on fraud within assistance programs. Healthcare advocacy groups, volunteers, social workers, private citizens, churches, the League of Women Voters, and the ACLU were among those who opposed House Bill 4001. The West Virginia Chamber of Commerce and the West Virginia Business and Industry Council spoke in support of the bill. Joining me now to talk about these and other updates is senior reporter Dave Mistich. Dave, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Andrea.
So let's start with that public hearing. What do we need to know about House Bill 4001?
Well, the whole idea behind this bill is that it expands upon a pilot program started off in 9 counties across the state that calls for work requirements for able-bodied adults to receive SNAP benefits. The 9 counties that they selected all had high employment possibilities, and so therefore they tested out in those particular counties. The interesting thing about this, though, is that the state DHHR released a memo that said that it didn't, that this pilot program did not have significant impact on employment increasing numbers, and that was a memo that came out in March 2017. So this bill basically just expands that pilot program across the state, and that's what the public hearing was about, and then also in House Judiciary as well today, too.
So let's listen to some of the comments from earlier today.
Center on Budget and Policy. I urge you to vote no on House Bill 4001. It hurts our people, our economy, and it's flawed. HB 4001 makes it much harder for thousands of West Virginians to get the help they need. The bill's time limits, asset testing, and work requirements are punitive and ineffective. We know from DHHR's own 9-county pilot program that when the state limits food assistance in an effort to encourage work, that it doesn't work. People are still hungry, people still need jobs, and it forces our local churches and food banks to step up so our neighbors don't go hungry.
We understand the challenges of the state budget, certainly at the federal level, but we also understand that with limited resources at the food bank and certainly amongst our 231 member agencies that provide food directly to those in need, we are not meeting the need of food required for those who seek it.
The mental illness in the state of West Virginia and the poverty that is in our state is just going to wither up and die, and that's our citizens that vote for you all. Do your job. Take care of the people that live in our state.
I grew up as a ward of the state in foster care. I am one of the faces of poverty. I am a SNAP and Medicaid recipient. I claim disability. I work and receive $9.70 per hour wages. After Social Security, SSI, and net pay, there isn't much left for general spending and groceries and to stretch out into the next deposit date. In addition, I seem to feel punished for working. It seems easier just to relapse, be disabled.
To live in poverty is to live in toxic stress. To live in poverty is to live in toxic stress. And toxic stress has lifelong negative health implications. Programs like SNAP help alleviate toxic stress, and they give people hope.
It's not unreasonable to expect that those who are able-bodied adults without dependents, not children, not the disabled, not the elderly, also perform some level of work or service or job training in return for those benefits. West Virginia also leads the nation in the rate of drug overdoses. How is work related to the drug crisis? The opioid epidemic is robbing our state of workers.
I know this committee has a heavy workload, probably the heaviest workload of everybody else, but this really is an easy vote. It should be an easy yes because it does two things that I think everybody in this room strives. One, it encourages self-sufficiency and for people to work back towards their independence that perhaps they lost because of unfortunate circumstances. But it also helps government fight against waste, fraud, and abuse to preserve those precious resources for the truly needy.
Has the program been a success in the 9 pilot counties? Our best data does not indicate that the program has had a significant impact on employment figures for the ABOD population in the 9 issuance limited counties. This is the Justice Administration's own report on what happened when we took food away from 5,400 people in the 9 counties with the lowest unemployment in West Virginia. Right? Right here. Don't worry, we've made copies and we'll make sure everybody gets one. This does not work, ladies and gentlemen. Punishing people who can't find more than 20 hours of work per week by taking their food away is economically unsensible, unwise, and cruel when it comes to the humanity of it. Asset testing, another pillar of this bill, is very counterproductive for what we want to accomplish for our people in West Virginia.
And I would just like to add that in West Virginia, we have a rich tradition of looking out for one another. We have a rich tradition of feeding our neighbors, and this bill flies in the face of that tradition, and there is no fixing this bill. There's no soft version of this bill, so please oppose it. Thank you, and I'd like to give you testimony.
So, Dave, you've been following the bill after this hearing, and it's currently in Judiciary Committee.
Right. Interestingly enough, though, this morning, right after the public hearing, it was taken up in House Judiciary. The point that needs to be made, though, is there was a comm sub, a committee substitute of the bill that was discussed in the committee that was not the bill that was discussed in the public hearing. The counsel of the House Judiciary Committee referred to the substitute in relation to the original bill as having substantive and significant changes. So that needs to be pointed out. Also, they went back in. There was a long floor session. We'll get to that here in a minute, of course. But they went back in this afternoon and introduced another committee substitute on the SNAP work requirements. It's my understanding that the asset test provision in the bill that the gentleman from the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy was just speaking about a moment ago has been removed from the second committee substitute. So that as of right now, they're still in there discussing this bill. It's probably going to go on for some time, but that's where things wound up today.
Now, the House spent hours in session today, as you alluded to. First, it passed the pay raise bill for corrections officers, and that was $6,000 over 3 years. And then they spent a very long time on Senate Bill 267, which is the pay raise bill for teachers, school personnel, and state police. What does this bill call for, and what happened with some of these amendments?
Right. Well, the bill that passed out of the Senate, 267, the comms from over in the Senate, called for a 1% increase every year over the course of 5 years. House Finance last week amended that. They went to a 2-1-1-1 formula. So that was 2% in the first year, moving on a 1% increase over the next 3 years. Of course, here on the House floor today, there were a couple amendments that were filed and voted upon. One of which was from Delegate Tim Miley, the House Minority Leader, who called for a 3% increase every year for 3 years. So it would have been a 3-3-3 formula. And we'll go ahead and take a look at Delegate Miley discussing that amendment and then some conversation about that.
The Democratic Caucus supports it. I'm asking for overwhelming bipartisan support to recognize the need that we have to not just maintain and retain our teachers, but make it an attractive profession for others to join them, because we are not hiring enough teachers. We have 725 vacancies or so around the state. And while money isn't always the thing that will cause them to join the profession, it's certainly a reflection of the value that we, the policymakers, place on that position.
This is not saying no. This is truly stepping up and saying, we've heard you. We've not been able to do anything these last few years because of our very poor fiscal situation. We're not out of the trough yet, folks. I mean, we've moved. We've got positive trends moving. We're up versus last year. It's a much more positive environment. And I think we've realized that, and that's what's in front of us. And we've put something on the table, or what's in front of us with the proposal, is much greater than what the governor proposed and much greater than what the Senate proposed. But it's living within our means. What is affordable now?
And, of course, we heard from both Delegate Miley and House Finance Chair right there, Eric Nelson, that amendment inevitably failed on a 42-58 vote. There was a lot of conversation, like you heard from, House Finance Chair Eric Nelson, about living within our means. We've heard that a lot about, you know, keeping it at this 2-1-1-1 formula, you know, coming out of House Finance. So,
and another amendment that was voted down was Delegate McGeehan's amendment, and that failed in a tie vote.
Absolutely, and that one called for a 3% increase with an additional 1% increase 2 years, the two following years. And again, as you said, that went down on a 50-50 tie vote. So
there was a press conference today by the West Virginia Education Association and the West Virginia AFT following House action today. Update us on what happened this weekend and set us up for that clip from this press conference.
Right. Well, just to give you a little bit of backstory on all this, the West Virginia Education Association and the American Federation of Teachers, West Virginia, their members met in Flatwoods. They all came together. Representatives from all 55 counties met at this joint meeting between the two teachers' unions. And their members gave the presidents of those unions, Dale Lee of WVEA and Christine Campbell of American Federation of Teachers West Virginia, authorization for a work action. Given all these frustrations by teachers over teacher pay and over the PEIA issues, paycheck protection, you know, a tax on seniority. So they initially had scheduled this press conference for 1 o'clock today. Of course, the conversation in the House delayed that a little bit. They pushed it back to 2 o'clock. I was in there in the room whenever these amendments had been voted down while they were holding this press conference. I had asked, Dale Lee if the 3% increase was the magic number. He went on to say there is no magic number. There is no silver bullet. It's all part of this multifaceted, equation of what they're looking for to get their needs met, is what they say. Whenever Delegate McGeehan and Folk's amendment failed, that 3-1-1 formula failed, both Lee and Campbell reacted with a very verbal wow whenever I let them know of that news. But they also went on to say that vote on the McGeehan-Folk amendment goes to show that 2% increase is not enough. So moving forward, that's really interesting. But we'll go ahead and take a look at a little bit from that press conference with the two of them right now.
Disappointed that the priority is not taken on public education.
All the comments of where there's a will, there's a way, we're looking for that will because we believe that that's the case. If it's a priority, there were several suggestions even on the floor today of possible solutions, possible funding. So there are opportunities, there are things available, but it has to become the will of the legislature because it's already the will of the employees and the communities in the schools. The legislature has proposed multiple suggestions. So we supported the amendment that was rejected on the floor because it's actually a multi-year package that is higher than what they have proposed. Everything they've proposed so far is the exact same proposal. It's just shifting numbers from one place to another.
We have to take a long-term approach to making our salaries competitive. And you can't do that at a 1% increment. You have to have a plan of action that will really address the problem and move the state forward, not just take the status quo or even drop us farther behind like a 1% will do.
Joining us now to discuss a potential teacher strike and other issues is Minority Vice Chair of Finance, Delegate Mick Bates. We note here that we did invite Vice Chair Eric Householder, who said he had a scheduling conflict this evening. Delegate Bates, thank you so much for joining us.
It's good to be with you.
So we just heard that teachers are considering a strike over teacher salaries and PEIA, so let's address both of those. Regarding PEIA, the governor pointed out last week that $6.5 million is included in the budget already for PEIA, but an additional $22 million is needed to freeze that plan at its current benefit level, postponing the cost increases that were set to go into effect for employees this coming year. Where does that $22 million come from?
Out of general revenue. So I've seen the letter that the governor provided. People need to understand the process. So back in October, the governor sent a letter to the PEIA Finance Board and said that you're only going to get $10 million. So people have known about this problem for some time. In fact, we've known about this issue for 3 years. You were here, I think, during the tobacco fight. So PEA requires $50 million every year, year after year, to hold it steady. And we've not been funding it adequately. Right? Now, people like to talk about fully funded. It's fake fully funded. Right? That responsibility starts with the governor and then is transferred to the legislature to fund appropriately the program. And the Finance Board then takes those monies and comes up with a plan that makes sense. So that money is coming out of general revenue. And be very clear. A freeze is not a fix. It is simply a freeze. We're right back here again next year with the same problem, if not worse.
Now, I know the governor did say that this may mean cutting certain initiatives to come up this year. What do you think, and we also heard from that from Delegate Nelson today, that certain things might be cut. What do you think would be on the table to cut?
Well, I think the first thing that you'd look at is probably the money that the governor wants to put into his economic development office. So they talk about site certification, doing some things, making mountains into flat land so that we can bring businesses in here and have certified sites. There's discussion about the tourism money. There are pots of money around. Fraud, waste, and abuse, we hear about that all the time, that the government's too much inefficient. You know, we need those monies. We have a responsibility as the legislature. We are the employer of the people of West Virginia. We need to provide adequate benefits and adequate salary and wages for these people.
So what about a teacher pay raise? They aren't accepting a proposed 1%, and an attempt to raise that to 3% was unsuccessful in the Senate. Now, the House Finance Committee did take that amendment that was adopted today in the House, but before that, let's go into Delegate Miley's amendment, which was a total of 9% over 3 years. You said that it's about priorities and that we can find the money if we wanted to.
You know, this is my fourth year. This is about my sixth budget. So it really is a question of priorities. There's lots of places that you can go to adequately fund all sorts of different initiatives. So the claim that the money is simply not there. The governor stood in front of us all at the State of the State and said that things are happy days are here again, that West Virginia's turned the corner. And he's presented a budget in that light that shows that the revenue projections are improving. Now, if you believe those numbers, then you need to believe the money is there to fund these priorities. Now, I've never seen the level of anger, the level of frustration that I'm seeing back now in our communities. And the teachers were quite frankly insulted by the 1% offer that was on the table. The Senate improved on that, House Finance improved on that, and today on the floor, the Democrats, the minority, we put forward a proposal that I think would go a long way to fixing the issue that we have. If we don't do it, we're going to have a crisis in education. So it's 3%, 3%, 3%. Our position, that's for teachers, school service personnel, state troopers, and they're all in code. What we need to do is include that in the budget when it comes down in the next couple of weeks.
Now, Republicans said that they just could, that the state can't afford that right now. What was your response?
Well, I mean, we can find money for all sorts of other things. So we can find money for all sorts of other things. There's a proposal right now that is being pushed pretty heavily to go ahead and eliminate the inventory tax, the tax on coal, gas, oil, and manufacturing, which creates a 20, 40, 60, 80, 120, about $560 million over the next 7 years. So again, a question of priorities. If we want to do that, then there's money. If we don't want to do that, then there's money that can go towards making sure that we invest in West Virginia and West Virginians.
So let's switch gears a bit. Now, broadly, what are your thoughts about the progress and the direction of the session so far, now that we're a little bit over halfway through the session?
Yeah, well, to be honest, again, this is my third go around. It's been relatively quiet up until this point. The last week or so, I would say what changed the whole conversation was when the teachers came down here two Fridays ago. That really heated things up. And said, okay, legislature, you're not listening to us, right? You need to refocus your attention, not deal with possums and deer hunting and all these other kinds of things. You need to deal with the issues that are in front of us. And that's adequate pay, that's adequate benefits for all state workers. So that has really changed the whole conversation. You had some proposals that were moving through the legislature, like the inventory tax. All of a sudden, that got pulled back. So I think the message was heard. I think the legislature is starting to behave a little differently because of the pressure that's out there, but there's still a long way to go. And we're in the back half of the game right now. So this is all going to come together here in 4 weeks.
Now, Delegate Nelson today mentioned the revenue collections during today's floor session. Again, the latest report on revenue collections are behind what was projected for January tax collections of $393 million, missed estimates by about 7%, which was about $28 million below January 2017. Now, Revenue Secretary Dave Hardy said that he was cautiously optimistic. What's your reaction to this report?
I'm not particularly confident in the numbers more than I am the West Virginia economy. I think we've found a soft bottom. The estimates are within 1%, but if you break those estimates out, they really aren't in the categories that we thought they would come in. The overall West Virginia economy is still fairly soft. So consumer sales tax is down, severance tax is down below estimates. What's up is corporate profits. So the global economy, the national economy, and personal income tax returns, which is pass-through income. So what you're seeing is the overall economy globally and countrywide is propping up the West Virginia budget. The overall West Virginia economy is relatively soft because of all the cuts we've put in place over the last several years. So I have some questions about the general revenue estimates that are coming out of the governor's office. But either it is or it isn't. You can't have it both ways.
Now, there have been several special appropriations, even today, to the school meal program. Lots of signs of significant struggling, and many say that things are turning around. What do you think?
I just don't think we're there. I mean, I have some real concerns, and I'll be finishing up with you, and then I'll be going back upstairs to deal with some supplementals to deal with the 18 budget. You know, and we're taking money out of Medicaid to balance this year. We're moving money around in Medicaid to balance this year's budget, and then we're taking money out of Medicaid in 19 to balance the budget. And it's short-term money, money that's available for matching, 3-to-1 for the federal government. So we're using about $160 million worth of one-time Medicaid money to go ahead and fill our budget for this year and the coming fiscal year to get us to 20. And we're hoping that the revenue growth that's projected, 3% overall is what the governor's office is using, is going to kick in there at some point. So, you know, I've got some concerns. I really don't think things are as rosy as people want them to believe. That's not what I'm hearing. That's not what I'm seeing when I go back home. That's not what people are telling me. So we need to make sure that we invest back in West Virginia and keep stop stripping stuff out of the economy.
Now, I know some of the Republicans in today's floor session had mentioned that the business inventory tax, increasing tourism, that that's going to help spur the economy for the future. What's your response to that?
I mean, I conceptually, I get the idea. I mean, no one likes the inventory tax. The conversation, that's been around for 20 years, about we need to be doing something about that. That puts it at a competitive disadvantage. But again, it's a question of priorities. Should we be dealing with that issue now, or should we be dealing with pay raises and benefits for employees? The problem I have with that proposal, it's not paid for. It creates a hole in the bucket, right? $20 million, $40 million, $60 million out over 7 years. So if we're going to replace that tax, we should replace it with another tax, another business tax, to make sure that our budget is sustainable in the long haul. As far as tourism is concerned, I think it makes good sense to invest in a place. But, you know, we've got the National Guard on the streets of Huntington. We've got the National Guard in our prisons. And we have the National Guard in our schools before too long if we don't take this issue seriously.
Now, you did mention, of course, that you, in your opinion, a freeze is not a fix. Now, the PEIA Finance Board is meeting tonight at UC to present its revised plan. How do you think people are going to react to that?
I think it's been a pretty interesting meeting. There's one back in Beckley, I think, later this week. That meetings were originally scheduled to take the issue of the combined family income off the table. So the way the program is structured is the PEIA Finance Board is the one that makes the decision based upon the information that's there. Originally, that meeting was just to consider that singular proposal, which was to remove the issue of total family income. But my understanding is the agenda has changed, and now it will be the freeze plan that the governor has suggested that we need to do.
So do you think the teachers are going to strike? Do you think that's a possibility?
I don't see anything at this point that happened today that decreases the likelihood of that happening. I mean, I think they're being heard. You see some movement, but I'm not sure if the will is there on the part of the current leadership in the Senate and in the governor's office to take what we did in the House today and do more. Because I don't think if we don't come up with a long-term solution, something that addresses this issue, not just now, right? Now, this goes back to 14. It doesn't address this issue over the next several years, not just for teachers, not just for service personnel or state troopers, but all state workers. You'll see a strike.
So beyond what we've talked about so far, is there anything that you're following so far in your finance committee that may even affect Southern West Virginia in the last minute that we have right now?
Well, there's always things that tend to pop up at the last minute that concern me. My biggest concern right now is this Medicaid money, this $163 million. The thing I'm focused on, other than the fix for PEA and payroll issues, is making sure that money is actually there. Should we be taking federally matched Medicaid money, money for medical services, out of the medical program and directing it to do other things? That money we can put into drug treatment, that money we can put into medical services. That's probably the thing I'm following closely that affects people back home beyond these issues with pay and benefits.
Well, Delegate McBates, thank you again for joining us.
It's good
tonight.
To be with you.
That's all the time we have left this evening. Remember, you can watch the floor action live on the West Virginia channel every morning starting at 11 a.m. Then be sure to join the legislature today every evening at 6. I'm Andrea Lanham for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for watching and have a great evening.